person next to you and say, God wants to say something to you this morning. Now, I'm based in Atlanta in the States, and I go to a church that's 95% black. Our pastor is 6'5", African-American man, and when you preach, they talk to you. You know, they come back on you. If it's going well, they say, all right, Jesus. Say, all right, Jesus. All right, Jesus. If it's going not so well, they say, help him, Jesus. Say, help him, Jesus. If it's going bad, they say, take him, Jesus. If it's going really bad, they say, take me, Jesus. So you can choose one of those this morning, or maybe all of them. But, I brought my box. Do you like my box? Thank you, thank you. Do you like my box? Good. Do you like my box? You're not so sure? Where's your box? Do you like my box, sir? Wonderful. We like our boxes. We live in a box, drive a box, watch a box, play Xbox. Some of us, anyway. We can worship in a box. Maybe a little bit of rattling next week is we can get comfortable in this box. One day we'll be put in a box. Now, why do I like my box? Now, talk to me. Why do I like my box? Come on, be black. Why do I like my box? Sorry? Safe. Why do I like my box? Comfortable. It's mine. Yeah, you get your own. And why do I like my box? I can put my jacket in it. Oh, he'd do well in my church. It tells me what? Tells me the world. My jacket does, for sure. Aha. Yeah, we like our boxes. In fact, I don't know how this is in England. You could call this the American dream. The American dream is to get a box, fill it with the latest and greatest. When it gets filled up, get a bigger box. Is that the British dream? And here's the thinking. If I get a big box, fill it with the latest and greatest, wrap myself in insurance, live inside my box, then I can live a risk-free life. And if I can live a risk-free life, I'll be worry-free, and then I'll be happy. And that's the American dream. Does that sound close to the British dream? Fill it with the latest and greatest, wrap myself up, especially in a scary world out there. Let's play it safe, wrap myself in insurance, and I can live a risk-free life. And then I'll be worry-free, and then I'll be happy. There's just one little problem with that. What you gain, you have to maintain. That becomes a pain and a drain. And raise two kids to do the same. Shall I say that again? Thank you. That's black. But it's a strange thing. You know, been around the world to 100 countries this last 30 years in all sorts of situations. And most people are trying to do this, one form or another. But the strange thing is, The happiest people I've met are not in here. Go figure. The happiest people I've met are those who step out of the box in some way, who go from what they know to what they don't know, who go from where they've been to where they haven't been. And they step out, this mission team going to Calcutta, stepping out. Some of the happiest moments is when you step out. It doesn't make sense, but kingdom values don't. If you want to know kingdom values, just take the world's and then flip it on its head, and you've got the kingdom values. The world's values all say it's in here. It's all in here. But the happiest people I've met. And I wonder why that is. I wonder why it is. You pray different out here. You can pray nice prayers in there. You can have a nice box theology. You dot all your I's, cross all your T's. You got it all wrapped up. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in your box. You have a nice church. But somehow out here, we pray different. Somehow out here, God... I need you. I need you. And I just wonder, you know, in Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. But does that mean that with faith it's impossible not to please Him? And that somehow faith is involved in risk and stepping out. And when I step out, I cause God to smile on me. And God says, yeah, way to go. And when God smiles on me, some of that rubs off. And the very thing I thought was all in here, the happiness that I seek, I find, rubs off on me. And the happiest moments are out here. Does that make any sense? You think back in your life. And you think it's all in here. Jesus told a story once. You know the story. And the master and the three servants with the talents. I'm going to call them, if it's okay this morning, Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I'm Hallie. Harry, say hello to Harry. Thank you. And I'm Harry. And the master comes, wow, you're going off, master. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to be a while. Wow, you've given Tom 5 talents. Woo! Wow, given Dick 2. Just given me 1. Wow. I wonder why just 1. I know this is extra biblical, but I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder why just 1. Wow, I got 5. Wow, you're off, master. Wow, Tom, you're off as well. Whoa! I'd be careful with those 5. You could lose them all. Master comes back. He's not going to be happy with you. Wow, Dick, you're off with your 2 as well. Whoa, I'd be careful. I'd do the 1 and 1 myself. You know, maybe hold 1 back. And wow. I just got 1. What am I going to do with this 1? I feel good. I'm sure it'll be fine with the master. He's okay. I'm sure everything's okay, huh? I feel good. I mean, Tom could lose it all, couldn't he? Huh? Master gonna be happy with him? Dick, just the 2. I told him, hold back the 1, you know, just be careful. dodgy days today, I'll be fine. Hey, I'm okay. Master's okay. Is this you? Is this you? Is this me? What are you doing with what God's given you? Talents he's given you. What are you doing with them? You risking them? Are you investing them for the kingdom? You have gifts in teaching and hospitality, gifts in business, all kinds of gifting. What are you doing with it? Or are you saying, I just got one? And you're playing it safe, keeping it inside the box. The average church, 20% are doing 80% of the work. Any different at Maybridge? No comment. Any different? We can say, I'm okay. Hey, I got an okay church. I got an okay family, okay marriage, okay job. I'm okay. Master's okay. Everything's okay. It'll be fine when he comes back. We'll have a one-on-one and it'll be good. I mean, I know I won't gain anything, but I'm not going to lose anything. That's good, isn't it? Can't have it all. Those two could lose it all. Feel good. Do, 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 do. Wonder when the master's coming. Hope he texts me, gives me a heads up. Do, 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 do. It's all there. Oh, master. Wow, Tom, you're here. Dick, you're here. Whoa. Wow. Master. Wow, he seems happy with Tom. Whoa, you doubled it. Five more. Wow, VP in the kingdom. Lucky he could have lost it all. Wow, seems happy with Dick. Wow, you doubled. I'd have done the one and one. Whoa, VP in the kingdom as well. Hello, Master. Oh, it's been good. Yeah, fine. You did? Yeah, good. It's all here, Master. Really, you can count it all. I've kept it safe for you. Here it is, Master. Yeah, he doesn't look so happy, Master. It's really, it's all here. They could have lost it all, Master. It's all here for a Master. You just look at it. And then listen to these words. These are words in the message. Words of the Master. The Master was furious. It's a terrible way to live. It is criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. So take this one and give it to the one who risked the most. And take this play it safe who won't go out on a limb and throw him into outer darkness. How do you like that? I tell you, when I hear those words of the Master, makes me nervous. that when the master comes back, what kind of investment have I been? Have I been a good investment? If I just give back, here, master, I took care of what you gave me. Think the Lord's going to say, oh, terrific. Way to go. And could I be a poor investment? Could the Lord say, throw him into outer darkness? That's the problem with the parables. They're not neat and tidy. We have a nice, safe theology all wrapped up. The parables are not written that way. They're written to slap us and kick us and shake us up and say, ooh, could that be me? Could that be me? And could that be you? And you? Could it be you? You sitting in the back row. I remember once went to a church in the Midwest of the States, arrived on the Saturday night at the home, and he'd been a banker, and it was sort of a modest home, so I thought maybe the bank didn't do so well, it went south, and went in, just met the wife. She said, oh, you'll meet Carl tomorrow. I said, where's Carl? She said, well, he's been all day at a basketball game selling T-shirts for missions. I thought, what's a retired banker headed up his own bank doing selling T-shirts all day at a teenage basketball camp? You know, he should be out playing golf or watching the Golf Channel or something. I thought, interesting man. The next morning I met him. He came downstairs. He was in a nice suit and groomed, gray hair. And we went to the church. It was a nice Bible church. But my eye would catch Carl every so often. And there was something about him that was wholehearted. I mean, didn't jump around or something. But there was something you could tell in the worship. He was kind of all there. Fully engaged, heart, body, soul, mind, spirit, everything. Something about him. And after the service, I said, Carl, tell me your story. Something happened to you. Tell me your story. I knew something had happened to him. And he said, well, I grew up in this church. And did successful in business, owned my own bank, raised four children, raised them up in the church, in the Sunday school, became an elder in the church, respected in the community, respected in the church, faithful to my wife. And he said, one day in the service, it was during the worship, and I was in my usual, you know, posture. And, you know, I worship from the neck up. And he said, I just had this sense God wasn't happy with me. And it kind of creeped over me. And I kind of, you know, sort of shrugged it, you know, just, did I eat something last night or, you know? And I thought, you know, I've been an upstanding citizen and in the church and my four children and everything. And he said, I just got this sense during the service. I mean, I thought everything was okay. You know, I'm okay, Lord's okay, church is okay, family's okay, business is okay, everything's okay.
And then I started to feel, maybe it's not okay. And he said, I couldn't shake it off. And he said, at the end of the service, something's not right here. And he said, my wife knew it because as we drove home, I didn't talk. And he was a real chatty person. He was one of the ushers, met people at the beginning and handshakes and loved being with people. And he said, I just kind of slipped away that morning and sat in the car and didn't say a word. And I came to, we're going to have lunch together and I didn't want to eat. I just sat there at the table. And he said, honey, I don't think everything's okay. I thought it was. I've lived my life and, you know, I'm in my retirement years and I don't know how many the Lord's got for me, but just kind of, you know, in cruise control and, as we say in the States, slide to home plate, baseball term. His wife wondered what happened to him, you know, maybe he needs some medication or something. He later called up his four kids. They're all married and established. He said, I want to talk to you about money. They all showed up on time. They're all early. Funny. And they all knew they had a nest egg for him, you know, from him for them. So he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I've had this great big house, you know, these cars and boat and what do I need all this stuff for? And I was going to give you a nice nest egg each, but you don't need it. They didn't feel so good about that. He said, I don't know how much time the Lord's got left for me, but I want to step out and give my life afresh to him. Whatever he wants me to do with my life, with what I have. And they thought, Dad's flipped. He had flipped. He had. One of his sons got held, his son started moving out in mission. One of his sons got held up at gunpoint in Iran. Stole everything. When Dad heard the news of it, he said, you know what? He belongs to God. He belongs to God. He said, Richard, before that, I'd have had him back on the next plane in a jiffy. He said, now he belongs to God. And you know, when I met this man, Carl, there was something about him I knew was different. There was something about him, you know, just something. And that's why I wanted to know his story. And Carl, for me, this nice Bible church in the middle of the States, he was the happiest person in the church. His home was modest. They'd sold this big house, got a modest place. So we don't need a great big place. But somehow he'd learn a secret. It's not in here. It's not in here. It's stepping out. Whether it's across the table with somebody, whether it's across the street, whether it's across the world, but it's not playing it safe in life. Your mom and dad want you this. And there was a day, if I can say this reverently, there was a day when the father came to the son, said, "Son, it's nice here. It's nice here. We've got everything. Full of beauty, power, wisdom, space. But I want you to step out. I want you to step out." And the son stepped out. And the God tells you and me to step out. Interesting. Pastor saying, new challenges, new changes in this church. It'll change up next week. Some of you decided you're going to come. I'll come 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time when we got back in our nice setup here. Maybe God's going to do a whole new thing this next year. Because God can shake up our box. God can start ripping up our box. God can shake a nation. It's hard. Hard for the son. Step out. When we get to heaven, you and I probably for a while will have mouths open saying, "You mean you stepped out of all this?" But the son stepped out. And the son says to you and me today, as the Father sent me to step out of my box, so I send you to step out of yours. Step out. Don't play it safe. Step out for God. Use what God has given you, the talents God has given you. Invest your resources in the kingdom. For the work of the kingdom. For the lost in our world today, the teeming millions in Calcutta. All that's going on in North Africa. But step out today. Do we have another moment? How are we doing for time? And this morning, if you know God is saying something to you, and you know you've been playing it safe, you want a risk-free, worry-free, happy little life, and maybe God is shaking your box, but this morning you step out and say, "I don't want just a safe little life. I don't want a nice, okay Maybridge church. I'm going to go with Pastor. I'm going to go with the vision of this church, whatever it is, that's across the table, across the street, and across the world." And this morning, I'd like you to come. Just take a moment. Maybe the worship team can gather as we do this. And just write your name. I was going to put it on a table, but you don't have a table. Maybe you're going to have to get on your knees. And just write your name on this cross. And say today, "Lord, what you've given me, whether it's one talent, five talents, two talents, whatever it is, all that I own, all that I have, here afresh, Lord, it's yours. I want to invest it for the kingdom. I want to step out. You've been nudging me to take that mission trip. I'm going to do it this next year. I'm doing it this next year. You've been nudging me to reach out to my neighbors. I'm going to do it." But step out for God. There's a song we're going to sing, "Open the Eyes of Our Hearts, Lord." Let's sing that. Open the eyes of our hearts. And anyone, just as we do that, just come forward. And just write your name and say, I want to step out for God. I guess we could stick it up on here. It's a little higher, but just come.